Mm-hmm.
We're all good, we're good?
Anything.
Good.
Good. Okay, call to order. This regular meeting of the mayor and council of the borough of Atlantic Highlands is called pursuant to the provisions of the Open Public Meetings Law. Adequate notice has been provided by transmitting the resolution of the annual meetings to the Asbury Park Press and the Two River Times by posting it in the Borough Hall on a bulletin board reserved for such announcements and by filing with the municipal clerks on January 3rd, 2023. This agenda is complete to the extent known and formal action will be taken. Roll call.
Mr. Colchetto?
Here.
Mr. Crowley?
Here.
Mrs. Cusick?
Here.
Mr. Dougherty?
Here.
Ms. Hornleitner?
Here.
Mr. Murphy?
Here.
Mayor Bluffstein?
Here. Please stand for a silent prayer and pledge of allegiance. And let's please remember those two council members for the past 2 weeks that were murdered.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay. I need a motion and a second to enter into executive session.
Crowley moves.
Dougherty second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The extent will be more like a half an hour. We'll be out.
Mayor, as I'm recused from this, I'll be staying in here.
Of course. Yeah.
We will be moving into the back room for executive session so the public does not need to relocate.
And we expect action will be maybe taken.
Action may be taken.
Correct.
You good? No, you good? All right. Okay, I need a motion and a second to come out of executive session.
Crowley moves.
Crowley for the seconds.
What?
Cerise.
Oh. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Okay, so I'd like to just inform the public that the, as mentioned previously, we were in an executive session to discuss regionalization, an update provided by Special Counsel Matt Jacoby, and the borough attorney will be providing an update to the public.
So Matt Jacoby had an important dinner plan, so he at the meeting, the members of council and the mayor discussed the regionalization issue affecting our boards of education and the Shoebright Board of Education, and are inclined to vote in favor of the following resolution. Whereas the Henry Hudson Regional High School District Board of Education, the Highlands Board of Education, and the Atlantic Highlands Board of Education, collectively the boards, have passed a joint resolution indicating their desire of presenting the voters of the Borough of Highlands and the Borough of Atlantic Highlands.
Can you speak louder, please? You can't hear us.
Don't I have this on?
Is it red?
It was.
There you go.
Now can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Should I start all over again?
Yeah.
All right. Whereas the Henry Hudson Regional High School District Board of Education, the Highlands Board of Education, and the Atlantic Highlands Board of Education have passed a joint resolution indicating their desire of presenting to the voters of the Borough of Highlands and the Borough of Atlantic Highlands a referendum to vote on regionalizing these three school districts into a single pre-kindergarten through 12th grade school district. And whereas the boards have further indicated that should this regionalization be approved by the voters, it is their intention to expand the regionalization to include the borough of Seabright in a future referendum. And whereas these efforts to regionalize school districts will result in greater efficiencies and tax savings for the residents of Highlands and Atlantic Highlands, and whereas the mayor and borough council are supportive of the board's commitment to present the taxpayers with the ability to vote on the regionalization of the school districts, and whereas the governing bodies of Highlands and Atlantic Highlands will need to formally agree on a formula to equitably share in any annual tax savings generated by the regionalization of the school districts to the benefits of their respective taxpayers. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the mayor and borough council do hereby authorize the mayor, council president, business administrator, its legal counsel, and financial expert to meet with representatives of Highlands and a mediator to mediate the formula to be utilized between Highlands and Atlantic Highlands to equitably share in any annual tax savings generated by the regionalization of the school districts to the benefit of their respective taxpayers. Now, Matt Jacoby, our special counsel for regionalization, has advised the council, and the council is excited about the fact that this is a step forward. There is an encumbrance that's impacting Seabright's ability to join with us at this juncture, but we don't want to foreclose their participation in the future. What we want to do is make the initial merger happen. And once we do that, we're in a position to ultimately, if Seabright becomes unencumbered, to invite them to join in. So with that backdrop, we're excited about pushing forward. We don't want to sit on this any longer. We think that the benefit of the merger of our school districts with the Highland school districts is beneficial to our community. We are wide open to bringing in Seabright when they're able, but we don't want to wait any longer.
Just one more thing, Ms. Schaefer, and thank you for that. The boards of education did not withdraw from the petition of the three. So if that happens to move forward right away, we're right there with you. We want Seabright to be part of this.
Right. The only thing, the petitions are pending before the State Board of Education, and if that were to be approved while we're going through the mediation process, we could adapt. Otherwise, we'll go through this merger, hopefully, assuming the voters agree, and we will then be in a position where if Seabright becomes unencumbered, the petition gets amended and we bring them into the mix.
And one last thing, and sorry, Mr. Jacoby couldn't be here because he would have said this, not me. The mediation will be both scenarios. So that's going to, for both scenarios, right away. With Seabright, yes. But the Seabright scenario and without Seabright. But we want Seabright, so we want to negotiate that now so that we show our commitment.
Okay. So someone should move the resolution.
I'll move it forward.
Probably 6 seconds.
We didn't have any public comments or questions.
On the resolution, you don't need that.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
You can get them later. I'm sure. Right. I'm sure we'll have public comments.
All right.
Let's have a vote on the resolution.
I need a motion and a second to
Roll
call.
Yep.
Mr. Feldstammer.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick.
You. Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Ms. Thornleitner.
Yes.
Mayor
Bush,
no.
Nope.
Resolution is passed.
Okay. Thank you all. Moving on now, I need the approval of the previous meeting minutes for January 26th.
I'll move that, Dougherty.
I'll second it. Cusick.
Roll call.
Mr. Pellicerda.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Ms. Yes. Mr. Murphy.
Yes.
The minutes have been approved.
Thank you. Now we come to the Employee of the Month for February. It gives me great pleasure to announce that Timothy Funk will be the Employee of the Month. And I just have just a little statement. Patrolman Funk is a lifelong resident of Middle Township. He started his law enforcement career at Little Silver Police Department as a dispatcher, advanced to the position of Class 2 Special Officer with the Rumson Police Department, and then hired full-time by the Old Bridge Police Department in 2020. In late 2020, he interviewed with the Atlantic Highlands Police Department, and when he asked why he wanted to leave Old Bridge Police Department, his statement was simple. This is my home. This is where I want to be. Soon after his interview, he was hired and has done an excellent job since. Patrolman Funk is representative of what a law enforcement officer should be. He has a great communication skills, a positive attitude, and is always looking to learn. Patrolman Funk has engaged in grant writing and has secured grants through the New Jersey Division of Highway Traffic Safety for distracted driver and DWI enforcement. Patrolman Funk was also recently selected to be the field training officer. When he receives the required training next month, he will have the opportunity to mold new hires and show them the Atlantic Highlands Police Department way of going above and beyond for our residents. So I want to thank him. He He's been friends with my son, so it goes long in the net, so...
You're not supposed to tell somebody that, Mr. Funk.
So, thank you. Congratulations. Thanks. No special parking or anything comes with it. Just our gratitude. So, unfinished business, ordinance 1-2023, the ordinance fixing salary ranges. I need a motion and a second to open public hearing.
Crowley moves.
Murphy second.
Okay. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Any questions? How many people on Zoom right now?
21 attendees, no hand raised.
Okay, thank you. Right. So there's no one on Zoom with their hands up. Any questions on the ordinance? Yes.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Oh, yeah. Happy birthday.
Hey, it's my birthday. I just had a quick question on, or a question or maybe comment on the community rating system coordinator. I think in a recent council meeting, I think Mr. Rohmeyer was the only one who knew what a community rating system coordinator was. And which it sort of indicates to me that we probably, if we're paying one, we should probably make more use of them. This person tends to have really excellent knowledge of FEMA regulations and flood resilience measures that could help the community. I don't think the community participates in the community rating system, but if we do, we should probably make more use of this person. And if we're paying this person, we should make more use of this person.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions, comments? Okay, since I don't see any hands, I'm going to move forward and ask for a motion to close. I need a motion and a second.
Move it. Close for the seconds.
Okay, roll call. Or all in favor?
It's not me.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you.
Was that for your wife's birthday?
No. I've got no sound on my phone right now.
Now I need a motion and a second to vote on the ordinance. Right.
Move second, Murphy.
Okay, and roll call.
Mr. Conserva?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Hornleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ordinance
01-2023
has been approved.
Okay, so now moving into public comment on the consent agenda items only. Please move forward, state your name and address if you have any comments or questions on the consent agenda. 21 people still?
I can drop down to 20 attendees.
Okay. No hands? Okay. Okay. Oh, Mr. Fisher.
We
agenda, Mark Fisher, 91 Third Avenue, the agenda clearly states public comment on consent and regular agenda items, that's item 10. Not just consent agenda items.
Mr. Fisher, that was my doing, and I think it's just more efficient, so we did add, I don't know that I told that to council or the mayor, but it is on the agenda. So if anybody has comments on regular, on the regular items or the consent agenda.
Okay, so I'll start off with, first of all, I think it's terrible that Mr. Giacobbe isn't here to make the comments. That's what most of these people are here for. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm here tonight. One of the key reasons why I'm here tonight. Mr. Giacobbe obviously stated in the executive session that Seabright is incumbent. If the lawyer for Seabright were here, he would tell you an opposite story. And that's exactly what we heard last Monday at the Board of Education meeting. One lawyer says they're encumbered, the other lawyer says there is, they aren't. So which is it? Why does Mr. Giacobbe know one thing and the other lawyer is saying the other?
Mr. Fisher, if in fact Seabright is not encumbered, then we'll move forward with Seabright. It's really that simple. And the petitions are filed with the Department of Education. So assuming my understanding, again, based on what we were told by our special counsel, is that there is litigation involving Shore and Oceanport. And Seabright. And if that's not the case, if you're right, then I think the council will be very happy with the fact that we can move forward with all three. But
with all three what?
With Seabright, and Highlands and Atlantic Highlands, yes.
Okay, so then why is Mr. Giacobbe's opinion that they are stuck because of being encumbered with the state? What we heard Monday night from the other side of the story is that there is no problem. The reason why the state's not acting is because they don't have the numbers from Atlantic Islands and Highlands. So which is it?
Part of our resolution is going to solve that problem, whatever that problem is. I mean, there's going to, I think, as the council president indicated, the mediation will involve the allocation, assuming Seabright's involved, as well as an allocation without Seabright, so that we're in a position that if Seabright really is unencumbered and or when they become unencumbered, if they are in fact, we can then move forward. Nobody's trying to stand, this council certainly is not trying to stand in the way of that, but we're basing it on the information we have and making sure that we've streamlined it so that we can do it if tomorrow we find out that you're right and Mr. Giacobbe was misunderstood, not misunderstood by us, but that he misunderstood, then it will not impact. We can go forward. That's what the council is saying, is we want to move forward. Whatever we have to do, we will do, and it's a resolution. It's, you know, if we want to get into mediation, we want to get going.
Okay, so 6 weeks ago we were told in order to get going we have to hire a special mediator, which we did.
We did.
Okay, so I don't think the special mediator has met with this group yet. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think the special mediator has met with the lawyers that are involved and the financial advisors that we also hired to move this forward. So which effort are we going to follow? The three towns or the two towns? Or everything?
Everything.
Okay, so that means that we're splitting our effort in half, and some people are going to focus on just the two towns, some people are going to focus on all three towns, and we still don't have a savings sharing for any of it.
Well, I think the mediation is, we anticipate that at that mediation there will be a savings formula if there are two towns, and a savings formula if there are three towns. That's a mediation. A mediation is obviously non-binding, but the parties participate in it with an eye toward getting it resolved. And because there's the unknown, you know something, and we are advised of something else, because of that, we are going to do a mediation that says, listen, I litigate a lot. I can tell you, sometimes you have parties out here who may or may not have an interest. You make sure that their interests, whatever they may be, are resolved in the litigation so that you don't have to go back and start all over again. So this mediation could easily encompass all three towns, as well as an alternative if there's only two.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Tracy Evan White, 7 Hilton Road, Atlantic Islands. I actually wrote my comments tonight because a lot of times I call and I know what I'm going to say and I get so frustrated. I get so tired. So tonight I'm going to read. On December 19th, 2018, this council passed Resolution 184, 2018, authorizing a shared feasibility study for educational share services by and between the Borough of Atlantic Highlands and the Borough of Seabright for $20,000. That feasibility study cited reasons why the inclusion of Seabright made sense. The feasibility study was revised on December of 2021 with the same conclusion. The Board of Ed received $65,000 on April 21st, 2021 to conduct their own study. During the public meeting last summer, their study validated and endorsed multiple benefits of including Seabright. I believe the quote was, "The sooner you do this for Seabright, the more benefits you'll receive." The experts, hired by the Board of Ed and Council and paid for by our tax dollars, have been consistent with their findings. Why are we hiring professionals if we are not going to listen to them? The letter on the Tri-District website, penned by the current superintendent, agrees that including Seabright makes sense. I quote, "Eventually, we will have Seabright join the new regional district and reap the potential tax savings and educational benefits that their membership may bring." Why are we waiting? The Commissioner of Education cannot respond to our proposal without the cost-sharing information, so we hired another professional, an attorney, to help. That didn't work. So tonight, we have another professional, a mediator, to mediate a mutually acceptable cost-sharing agreement, and I really hope this one works this time. Without Seabright, we are doing our students and members of our community a huge disservice. During the State of the Union, President Biden quoted his wife, Jill. She has an expression, "Any nation that out-educates us will out-compete us." The studies we paid for stated the best decision to improve our educational offerings was to include Seabright. The professionals we hired said it's best to include Seabright. So I urge you to follow the advice of the professionals that we hired and that we are all paying for, include Seabright, and get it on the ballot on the regular election so that we don't have to incur additional monies by having it 60 days earlier. Thank you.
Miss Abby White, may I have a copy of that to give to, Ms. Clark? Okay. Wait a minute. Her hand was up. I'm sorry. Muriel Smith? I'll get to you. Okay. Go ahead.
Muriel Smith, 29 Leonard Avenue, Atlantic Islands.
Mm-hmm.
I join with Mark. I'm sorry that we keep paying Mr. Jacoby, and Mr. Jacoby has never had time to come here and let the people speak with Mr. Jacoby. The fact that he has a late dinner appointment tonight, maybe he either made that after you told him we were having a meeting, or you made the meeting knowing that he had a late thing and he couldn't meet with the people.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Smith. I that was a bad joke on my part. I don't think it was a dinner meeting. I think he had a meeting that was a business meeting.
Then I think that we could have had a special meeting. I think people have the right to hear from that attorney. If he's got so much to say and he's telling everybody so much, I think the public has the right to know what Mr. Jacoby is telling everybody, because you're apparently acting on what he's saying in secret that we can't know about. And I didn't realize it was a joke. I mean, sorry about that.
Well, just the dinner part. I mean, I don't know what his conflict was, but...
Okay, and I realize, I don't mean to be critical of you, and I apologize if I sound that way, but I realize that you're new here. You don't know that these people have been struggling with this question for a long, long time. And it's not a joking matter for them. Nobody's laughing about anything when it comes to regionalization here at this point. So that was my first question. My second question is, I wanted to ask Mr. Jacoby, but wherever he is, he can't be here. And I guess he can't be here by phone or anything else either. Has he or anybody on this council or anybody ever asked Dr. Beams or ever ruled on whether Dr. Beams is in conflict by being the only one from the schools that was talking about this issue? And as much as she's a resident of Oceanport, which is the town that's going to lose money if Seabright comes with Highlands and Landowns, and yet she's the only one, and trust me, the boards of education don't know what's going on, or if they do know what's going on, they're certainly not speaking. At the last two meetings that go with the Board of Education, when I asked a question of the chairman, Dr. Beaton started to answer, and I said, I'm sorry, I asked that question of the board. And the board chairman turned to Dr. Beams, and she told him what to say, and then he said it. So the board members have made it clear to me that they don't even know what's going on other than what Dr. Beams tells them. Before I get back to my question, has anybody ever looked into the question, if anybody on this council, that's all you can talk to me about, I know Mr. Perugino always reminds me of that, anybody on this council ever asked the question about whether Dr. Beams is in conflict?
You'll have to go to a Board of Education meeting.
I'm asking this council. That's what I just corrected myself.
So to my knowledge, no one at the dais here has asked Dr. Beams that question.
Thank you, Kathy. May I ask, will somebody on this board please ask that question of Dr. Beams or ask it of Mr. Jacoby? Certainly pay Mr. Jacoby to not be here. So maybe if somebody can get him on the phone or get his interest enough. I just find it so insulting that this is so important to the people of three towns, and the attorney that you're paying hasn't got time to be here with us, hasn't got time to talk to the people and even listen to the people.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a problem with that. If we're talking about mediation, Ms. Schaefer, if we're talking about mediation and it's going to be through the three towns, maybe, is Seabright going to be included in this mediation, do you know?
I think that the objective is to include Seabright to the extent they can, because they want to have a formula for going forward that includes Seabright as well as one that doesn't, just in case it is in fact encumbered.
So is that a yes? They're going to be invited?
Yes, to my knowledge. To my knowledge, they're going to be part of the mediation.
Can I ask the council that? Does the council know any more than Mr. Staker?
Well, everything that I'm telling you what we were told in executive session, that the objective, in order to make that happen, the objective is to have a formula if it's just the Highlands, Atlantic and Highlands, and a formula if Seabright's included.
Okay. And this is what you learned in the executive session?
That's what we learned in executive session.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I heard at the school board meeting that the savings for the two towns joining together, excluding Seabright, is $440,000. That's like maybe double the salary, a little better than double the salary of this superintendent. Is that the extent of the savings that just the two towns get together?
We don't have that data in front of us. Yeah.
Did you hear the 440,000 figure that I heard before?
We attended the same. Some of us attended the same meeting, and we heard the same information that you heard.
You did hear it. Okay. So that's my question. Where is that savings coming from?
You're going to have to direct that to the Board of Ed, where the money.
The money goes to the council. Can answer questions on money?
No, if they provided that data, it would be most appropriate to inquire with them as to where they got that data from.
And you haven't asked that question. This council hasn't asked that question. Do you talk to the Board of Ed?
I think we reminded you at the last meeting, this really is comment time, and we want to assure the public of that we'll be as transparent as we can be, but something like this, we have professionals who are, well, I know Mr. Jacoby's not here, but he is actively engaged in this matter, and he will make sure that those questions are appropriately asked and resolved at the mediation.
Okay. I did notice, like Mark said, that, and you said it was just your doing, but the very fact that we are only able to talk about the resolution after it's been adopted, I can see that there's probably never going to be any change in it, no matter how many people stand up today mm-hmm. and get any other ideas. And I'm sorry about that, too. I wish the council, the public would have had the opportunity to speak before you acted on the resolution. Does anybody here know that Seabright has said several times, and there's certainly Seabright people here, so mm-hmm. I'm sure they can reiterate it, that if there are any costs involved with any kind of whatever they might be involved in, they would take all those costs themselves and it would have nothing to do with the two boards?
Yes, they've said that.
Yeah.
And you're familiar with that?
Yes.
In the past, yes.
And still you think it's... Then what's the reason for not including Seabright right now?
But I think the resolution is very clear that it really is supportive of including Seabright. We are simply allowing for the possibility that what we're being told is that Seabright can't join right now. We're not saying, listen, if that turns out not to be the case, then this resolution says this body wants this regionalization done. They want the regionalization done as soon as possible, however it can happen. And if that includes Seabright, that's the best alternative. But if for some reason it can, and we are being advised that there is an issue, and we don't want to wait for that issue to be resolved. If it can be resolved tomorrow, then everything that I think we're hearing from the public tonight is that's what we're saying. All we're saying is this is not even, we're not taking action other than resolving that we're telling you this is what we want to happen.
How are you notified that there is a problem with Seabright?
By our attorney.
By Mr. Jacoby?
Yes.
But we haven't.
All right. Ms. Smith, we understand that, but, you know, Mr. Jacoby is a well-respected, experienced attorney. I'm sorry he can't be here tonight. But,
or any other
Well, that part eludes me. I know he's doing his job, and I have confidence that he will get us to the right place. And I understand that the public and I know this council wants Seabright included.
Okay. So even though they said the take request, we have nothing in writing from Mr. Jacoby. He might pull this out of the air for all we know. You have nothing from the Commissioner of Education saying the reason why she's not acting on this is because of this action that Oceanport may or may not have against Seabright?
Mrs. Smith, we were given a docket number. I believe you were at the meeting where they gave us a docket number. So that docket number can be looked up with the state. In fact, Ms. Schaefer, would you be willing to
of course
look up the docket number so we can report back on that at the next meeting?
That if there's a docket number, it's an administrative proceeding, which is like litigation, which means there is litigation involving those communities. Now, if Seabright were to step up, I suppose, and say whatever is out of that, and it's not likely to happen, but if Seabright removes its encumbrance, however, by getting rid of that lawsuit or by indemnifying every other municipality involved in the lawsuit, then maybe. But we're not going to resolve that tonight. We're reporting on what's happening. We're telling you what the council's sense is. We're saying we want to do what you want us to do, but we have to rely upon our council to make that happen.
Okay. Lori, thank you for asking at least to see this docket. Apparently nobody on council has thought to do that before, so
it was stated at the Board of Education meeting.
It was stated, but nobody's read it.
The number was given. So
the number was given. Yes. But nobody on council asked the attorney to look it up. The number. I'm not an attorney, and I don't know how to look up.
We'll have a copy of that available. I'll get a copy of it.
Okay. So are we talking about an election in November? We don't know. Maybe we'll have it. Maybe we won't have it. If the board decides to have one in September. Does anybody know anything about that? Mr. Jacoby is the attorney, but I didn't even ask him. I'm sorry, but does anybody know about that?
The process would be that the petition, if and when the petition is approved by the commissioner, whichever petition is approved, that date would be set.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
The commissioner of the State Board of Education. Once those petitions are accepted, the regionalization petitions, as soon as they are accepted, whether it's accepted including Seabright or excluding Seabright, whatever that is, will wind up. If we get that answer soon, it'll be on November's ballot. If we don't get that answer for a while, then we don't dictate that.
So we might have an election in September, and then
not September.
No.
We would try to do it in.
Once again, that's the board.
We've heard everything. I mean, I think we understand what the public's interest is and what the comments are. You know, we can't answer every one of these questions right now, because until we know that the petitions are accepted, we can't tell you when we're going to have a referendum.
Have we missed a deadline to put this on a November ballot?
I don't think we
have. No. That's what we did last year. Remember, we were racing.
But would be a special education election. It would not be a referendum by the borough, to be clear.
I just wanted to
clarify. So we could have two elections then. One in September that the board asked for.
Special education elections, to the best of my knowledge, are either in April or they're in November.
Right.
No.
My understanding is there are multiple days to have special elections. I think there could be one in March. I think there could be one in April. I think September's another day, and I think November's another. So there's, I don't know all 5 days, but there's, I believe there are 5 days by which you can have special.
This is COVID, we're talking, you know,
it's a deal.
Yes, go. So we don't know whether there could be two elections.
We do not know.
We do not.
I think that's it for a while. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. I'll start off by saying that the docket number...
First, state your name. Okay.
I am on the Atlantic Highlands Board of Education. The docket number is 157622. It's in the... controversies and disputes department. At the
controversy and disputes.
Correct.
It's not a lawsuit.
It is a lawsuit. For when you're in the education.
Just
going to get your
please.
Wait.
Excuse me.
Do you have to? Right.
Sorry. That's why.
Regardless, I want to go back. When Tracy mentioned about 2018, the Board of Education looked at that feasibility study. And I understand the taxpayers put $20,000 to pay for that, but it just wasn't comprehensive. And when the Board of Ed looked at that and our lawyers looked at that, there were problems and holes. And I know that it was updated in 21, but it was updated really with the date. It wasn't updated with any more information, and it didn't clear up any of the holes that had been there in 2018. At that point, our superintendent at the time, which was Dr. Compton, came to the Boards of Education and said, we have an opportunity to apply for a LEAP grant to do our own feasibility study because as a Board of Education, we have the responsibility to educate the children and to run our schools independent of the municipalities. We certainly appreciate our relationship that we have, the Atlantic Highlands Board, with you, Mayor, and Council, because we have a fabulous relationship. Neighbors, friends, school kids together, we appreciate your understanding that you have an independent relationship with us to govern this. The Board of Education governs it. When that came about, that conversation with Dr. Compton, and we went for the feasibility study, it was absolutely clear before we even got the money that we would use the money for the feasibility study. And if the feasibility study's findings were to regionalize, we would have to. All three boards of education agreed before we even applied for the money that we would regionalize. If that came to be, we find our feasibility study that we presented in May to be the study. I'm not going to go back to 2018. I'm not going to go back to 21. I'm going to back to last May when we presented in that gymnasium, our results. There were two findings of that result of that study that were major. One was a complete agreement that we would regionalize with Seabright. It was absolutely true that that should occur immediately if possible, because we all understand, as our lawyer Jonathan Bush said in that meeting, lawyers like to argue. And that's where we are. The other thing that came about was that regardless of the Seabright situation, we wanted them, we see the value in them, and we are willing to and we want to educate their children. However, with the encumbrance that they are currently in, if it became sticky, Seabright, if they were a free agent, wouldn't have a home unless it's a K through 12. Right now, we are a K through 6 in Atlantic Highlands, we are a K through 6 in Highlands, and we are a 7 through 12 in Henry Hudson. I'm sorry for my language, but it's a shit show. You have three boards with 25 people. In order for Seabright to come to us, we have to take three districts and regionalize to one. We have to take three boards of education that have 25 people and go down to 9. In order for Seabright to come to us, we have a lot of work to do. The boards of education The municipalities might have to argue over the funding formula with the Boards of Ed. You might have to figure out a sharing agreement with Highlands. I'm not saying you don't have work to do, but at the job, the onus is on us to prepare a home for all of us to live in. And that's what we want the opportunity to do. What happened in good faith when all of us six entities entered that petition in June was in good faith, and we wanted to move immediately. But as our feasibility study states, we have to regionalize immediately the three schools for this reason. Not only to make a bed for Seabright, but because we are losing state aid to those schools. And if we regionalize, one of the benefits and one of the perks is that we will slow down the loss of our state aid to those schools. You want to talk about tax savings? I want to talk about tax savings. As a resident of this wonderful community, I want to talk about tax savings. But that doesn't go to the school. I want to make that absolutely clear. Tax savings may or may not go to the people, but it stays in the municipality. What is real to a school is state aid. We're talking, depending on how quickly we can regionalize these three schools, $1 to $2 million in state aid. That is huge. That is huge for programming, coming back from COVID when we're trying to catch up. That is huge for the buildings that are 100 years old that need work. That is huge when we have three teachers union that need to go down to one. We want to take care of the people in the community. I do ask you to be favorable with that. Funding formula, the number that is the magic number is 7228. There are no qualms about that with a sharing agreement with Highlands. The reason the sharing agreement is important is because once we come off of 100% evaluation for property taxes and we start moving towards enrollment, we lose the stability for the funding of the schools from the tax perspective. I want to remind you of that. I want to remind you that when we did the feasibility study, which is online, that it was very clear that 7228 was a sweet spot for all three towns to have skin in the game. I am all in favor of regionalizing and regionalizing with Seabright, but I couldn't do any harm to Highlands, and I couldn't do any harm to Atlantic Highlands as a board member on the school. If we do not have a fair funding formula, and if we do not have a sharing agreement, it will not be as favorable tax-wise to Atlantic Highlands. I also want to make absolutely clear, we are not withdrawing from that petition. However, Oceanport, Shore Regional do not want to lose $3 million, and they have made it difficult, and they have stalled the process. I am not arguing whether there's a lawsuit or not. I'm not going to get into semantics. But for 8 months, the Board of Education has wanted to move forward with this. Yeah.
That's okay. I know. It's okay.
But anyway,
I get you.
I appreciate the understanding that we've been waiting for 8 months to move forward on this. Somebody said in that meeting the other night last week that everything's going fine, we're doing this, we're waiting for a funding formula. That hasn't been the experience for the Board of Ed. The Commissioner of Education has been radio silent. Not only has she been radio silent, so have the Senators, Gopal and Escanlon, silent, where they were very involved up until that petition and the appeal for the petition was submitted. So I do want to let you know the reason we want to get on the ballot in September, and it is a special election for the schools, is so that we can regionalize the three schools and we can move forward in this process, get that state aid under control, and to make a bed for Seabright, or I should say that way, a home for Seabright when they become unencumbered. Honestly, to God, that is the truth. And I really appreciate you letting me have my piece. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, good evening. Herman Beaver, 12 Trade with Plain. Steve Bryce, I'm posted on town council. Over there, happy new year, everybody. A couple things. First of all, I can speak from being on the council, that Steve Bryce is not pressing me at all. It is our view that because a petition has been signed by Oceanport and Shore Regional and submitted to the commissioner, that is not litigation. Second thing is Steve Bryce has offered to indemnify any legal fees. We'll put it in writing. That's a document that exists between our towns. That if any legal fees are incurred, Seabright is going to bear the cost of that. I will tell you quite candidly, Seabright's going to be fined one way or the other, whatever happens here. The report that was done last May, I sat in that room in the auditorium, in the gymnasium. I thought it was a fantastic report. And like Tracy said, the general conclusion was, do it as quickly as you can with all three towns. Because that's where the most savings comes from. The numbers in the BOE report said that if Highlands and Atlantic Towns do it together, it's $400,000. If you do it with Seabright, it's $2.6 million. The savings for Atlantic Highlands and Highlands alone, not counting the savings for Seabright. So the numbers overwhelmingly talk in favor of the situation of the Tri-Town. So the question I have, because a couple things were said up here that were a little confusing to me. If I was Atlantic Highlands and I desperately wanted to move forward with Seabright included, the first question I would ask is Seabright really encumbered? And who is the professional to ask that question? Because there is no litigation between the towns. There's a petition. Nothing's happened with that petition. And we believe the reason nothing's happened with that petition is that is the commissioner is waiting for the prior petition to provide a funding formula to evaluate it. The education commissioner cannot do anything with the tri-town petition until a funding formula is developed. So I would think the first thing we should be looking at is Seabright encumbered or not? If the answer is no, what I've heard previously is Atlantic Highlands and Highlands would then move very quickly for mediation to the three towns, submit the funding formula, send it to the petition, and be done. But what I heard is that's not going to happen. What's going to happen is a new petition is going to go forward with just Atlantic Highlands and Highlands in parallel to the one that's been submitted, and a funding formula is going to be developed for Atlantic Highlands and Highlands and maybe Seabright, if we can get to it. And then we're going to provide both of those to the commission. That does not have an effective way to do this. And Councilman Hohenleitner, what you said before, I was watching your words very carefully. You said what was going to happen is a funding formula for both alternatives was going to be developed and submitted.
Right away.
So that means that before anything goes in, those funding formulas get negotiated for both alternatives and get prepared to be submitted with those petitions. Just so everybody in this room and I am clear, is that what's going to happen?
That's yes. The plan. That's what the resolution
yes.
states.
Okay. So if step one was to find out if Seabright's encumbered, would you go forward with both of them still? If Seabright was not encumbered?
The answer is yes, but I'm going to say why the answer is yes.
You would go with both?
The resolution tonight was that we were supporting both paths. Yes.
Yeah, my question is, and it's probably a day or two's question.
It's going to end up being a moot point, because if Seabright is encumbered, then we're still going forward with both paths.
I understand that.
And if they're not, we're still supporting.
And wouldn't the first question be asked the right person who has the authority to determine if Seabright's encumbered or not? Because all that's happened is Oceanport has submitted a petition. There is no litigation.
Well, if it's a petition in cases and controversies, and it could easily be an administrative proceeding, which is like litigation. I haven't seen it. Right? We will get it. We will get it. Okay.
I've read it. And my only suggestion, and I will tell you, the last woman that spoke on behalf of the BOE in this room, for she had really good points. The urgency of moving forward here to avoid the reduction of state aid. That's a really good thing. Regionalization is important.
So, Councilman, I think we said, though, that we, obviously, if you're right, if Seabright is not encumbered, our lawyer advised us tonight that he believes they are. If they are not, then we all move forward immediately, right? So if we find that out in the next 2 days, then everything that we want goes forward.
We're not joining their position.
Yeah.
The Highlands.
I guess my question would be, if you find out in the next 2 days they're not encumbered, we are not encumbered. Would you go forward with both petitions?
Resolution.
We're not part of this. We're not part of their petition. The BOE is going forward with their petition. So,
I think the question was whether or not, since we laid out two alternatives, right? We talked about a mediation. The mediation then would involve all three towns. We wouldn't have to do separate because we would do a funding formula involving a tree.
Just so I'm clear, if you find out through whatever authority is the right one that Seabright is not encumbered, you will look to move forward with the three towns.
Yes.
Sure. Yes. Sure.
Enthusiastically.
Yeah.
The last thing I'd just like to say, from my perspective, because I've been paying very close attention to this, when the state legislation made the change for this, they expected litigation. They expected it to happen, and they cleared the path through that in the wording that they developed. Okay? They knew that this was going to happen, so they did it appropriately. If I was the commissioner, just put yourself in her place for a minute. And regionalization was high on the priority of this state, of the governor, the legislation, and the commissioner. I would think you'd really rather have a petition coming forward that actually achieves significant savings and improvements for the town. And I also believe, because we were researching this today, that the savings that Atlantic Highlands and Highlands could achieve could be divided between benefit to the taxpayer and benefit to the education system. And Tara Beam's words herself basically said, we believe this regionalization will allow us to offer better programs for our children. To me, that sounds like dollar benefit from Seabright joining to the education system. So the only thing I would ask is, please validate whether or not Seabright is officially encumbered. Because we don't believe it is. We offered to pay for any legal fees if that was the case, moving forward. And I think in the end, the very best thing that Atlantic Highlands, Highlands, and Seabright can do is develop the most efficient, effective educational system for our students and our taxpayers. And if we don't do something, something's going to get done to us. So taking the bull by the horns and being in control of your own destiny, in my opinion, is much better than having it done to you after the fact. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Hi there, good evening. My name is Gina Melnick. I'm visiting you all the way from Highlands. I live at C545 Court, if that matters. I served on the Highlands Board of Ed from 2019 to 2022. I'm also the parent of a student who was in Highlands Elementary School and is currently attending Henry Hudson. And I also came here with the hopes that Mr. Giacobbe could finally settle the dispute over who's telling the truth about demanding cost-sharing agreements, but because he says one thing and Dean says another thing and we never can get them or anyone else in the same room, I guess we'll just continue to like play this game of who do we trust. And that's a shame, because it's very easy for someone to just like give the public faith in someone, because somebody is not really being forthcoming with the truth, and that's a shame. And just when it comes to the truth and getting things right, I think it's important for everyone on the council to understand that there seems to be a lot of catering from my perspective, toward the Atlantic Highlands taxpayer. I was listening to a meeting where you guys were debating how much it would be worth to merge, and I remember hearing someone say $500,000 a year in savings wouldn't be enough. And okay, that's cool. If you don't think it's enough, that's cool. But you have to understand that there are people in Highlands who also want to have incentives to make this happen. And you know, I've heard people talk about the importance of losing the state aid tonight. Do you know that Atlantic Highlands Elementary School is earning state aid every year? Its state aid increases every year for the next 5 years. Highlands Elementary School is the only school that's about to lose state aid. But you want the taxpayers in Atlantic Highlands to merge just to save Highlands money? Okay, I'm glad you have that faith in those people. The people of Highlands are looking at an elementary school with no debt. Debt is a good thing sometimes. You gotta, you know, put on a new kitchen or something. You gotta take out a mortgage or a loan or something. But Atlantic Highlands Elementary School has $1 million of debt. And there's no debt in Highlands Elementary. But you want me as a voter to take on $500,000 of your debt? so that you can all save money, so that nothing changes. You know that the superintendent has zero intention of putting our two elementary schools together, right? All of the kids, you're going to keep your kids over here, and we're going to keep our kids over there, and we're never going to put them all together. So when you talk about like improvement of programs, I don't know what you're talking about. There's no change in the
That was for Board of Ed. She was speaking on behalf of Board of Ed. We have nothing to say about Board of Ed.
Shouldn't that matter? If you're voting on this, shouldn't you understand that absolutely nothing's going to change? I've heard you saying this will help improve programs, and I've also heard you say the money's all going to taxpayers. Which one is it? Because you're not looking at losing state aid. We are. You gain state aid every year. Our building is on like 8 acres of land, and it has views of the Atlantic Ocean. I'm sorry, y'all. Yours is across the street from a brewery. Have you seen our playgrounds? They're amazing. But they're not good enough for you?
Now, that's not right to say.
Okay, I'll move on with that.
You know.
So, you understand that when we regionalize, those schools become the property of the Board of Education. So you want us to meet you at the poker table and put our beautiful castle on the hill next to your school and see that as a trade? My point is, this vote won't pass. And this is starting to feel, I'll just speak from my own perspective, it's starting to feel like y'all don't want us. And if you don't, just say it. We're cool. Just like Seabright. They'll be fine. We'll be fine. We have a preschool. It's free. You guys can't even have, you don't even have a preschool. Or some years you do. People have to wait till like August to find out. We'll be fine. So if you're going to put something to the voters, it has to pass in Highlands too. And I cannot understand how you think voters are going to wake up in the morning and sign up for taking on $500,000 of the Board of Ed's debt, maybe saving some state aid, but your voters aren't looking at losing state aid. Just Highlands Elementary. And
wait, please.
You get more state aid every year.
No, stop. Stop.
Okay.
Ma'am.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, I also want to say, speaking of knowing what we're talking about, at the last meeting, Dr. Beams made it very clear that the only apportionment that is acceptable to the Board of Ed is 100 over zero. No consideration for enrollment, even though y'all sent 100 more students to elementary school than we did. But you don't want us to consider enrollment when it comes to paying the bill? So you can send three times as many kids to the schools, not even send them to our school, although at some point you'll have to, because you have an overcrowding problem. We don't. You really think this is going to pass? Like, you either haven't really thought this through, are getting misinformation, or, and this is how it's fine, feel for me, just saying, you are just kicking the can down the road again, as all of these councils and Board of Ed had for probably 20 or 30 years. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Good evening. Chris Lucas, 61 East Barfield Avenue. I have a comment and a question. I think the comment is, my takeaway tonight is that the council in general, including the mayor, thinks that merger of the three towns is the preferred option to two, but there's an impediment, which is why we're doing a two-step here, right? Is that my agree?
Yes.
And this gentleman brought the point of maybe there was an impediment, right? What if this actually is some misinformation, or, you know, things aren't always black and white, but shades of gray. And the conclusion is, you know what, there's not an impediment. What I heard is that we would still go forward with both proposals, and it just doesn't make sense to me. We're a small town, limited resources, and I think focus matters. You know, diluting efforts across making them both just sounds like a terrible idea and not the fastest path to the end state. So if we agree, the best plan is to merge and include Seabright. If we agree the impediment if put out of the way, we focus on a single, and that's an option, right? The vote happened, though. I had a whole speech ready thinking the vote hadn't happened yet. So I had to change gears here a little bit. But I think the point I'm trying to make is that it sounds like everyone has a common point of arrival, and it feels like we're stepping over dollars to pick up dimes, you know, to use an old phrase. And the benefit of this merger and what's going to get it in the short term is we can't do the islands, can't do all three. We should do the two and fully support it. So to that end, my question is, the blocker is there litigation? And I heard a comment, which we'll figure it out. Now there's like definitive, like steps and owners. Like, how is this group going to get informed, have opposing views, right? We should have the right people in the room. Who are they? And when's this going to happen by, and who can the public follow up to see the outcome of that? Because that feels really critical. Like, that is the holder right now.
You're right.
So regarding this matter, our council, mayor and council, is represented by legal counsel. So they are the voice of information to receive and to disseminate back to the members of council. And all of the other respective bodies that are engaged in this negotiation, for lack of a better word, also have their respective legal counsels. Those are the entities that are communicating back and forth and disseminating back to their clients. So I don't know if that answers your question, but...
It did. I didn't understand what you said.
We have what I said is we have a lawyer, and that lawyer represents us.
Is it the same lawyer who doesn't show up? Or
yeah.
Louder.
It's Mr. Giacobbe.
MIA.
Okay, so you're going to be meeting with him when? And will there be other people in the room who might have a counterpoint to help inform and give this group multiple points of view so you can make an informed decision? Because it sounds like we're not all on the same page.
The lawyers will. What we said tonight is that we're authorizing and supporting the mediation effort, and that mediation will be. And I think I said, if there is no impediment, and if that is accurate, then the mediation will involve the whole three communities. There's no reason it wouldn't. We wouldn't then try to do it piecemeal because we wouldn't have to. Our lawyer, but as the business administrator said, we're advised by counsel. The boards of education have counsel, very able counsel, and Jonathan Bush. They are working with each other, and they are going to do what we're listening now. We've said we support what we're hearing from the audience. We expect to do everything in our power and to advise our counsel. This is what we want to happen. No, the council will find, listen, we're sitting here right now. I'm sorry, Mr. Giacobbe can't be here. Things like that happen. I don't know. But the reality is, what we know now, we're hearing you loud and clear, and we are going to, I'm going to look at the docket number, the docket myself, and also talk to Mr. Giacobbe and find out. And if there is no impediment, as the councilman has indicated there is not, that's great.
And to ask questions, would CBRIT be included in CBRIT representation?
Sure.
Would representation be able to represent their point of view?
Sure, that would be what happens. I mean, that's if the impediment is, it's either there or it's not. I mean, there are lawyers involved. Again, I haven't seen any of these documents, but if there is pending litigation that interferes with the petitions as filed, then we are going to try to move forward with just the Highlands. If there is not pending litigation or there's not something that interferes with us moving forward, then we will go forward with all three.
And can we expect this to happen the next couple of days?
I think answers to it will be happening between now and the next meeting.
Which is?
2 weeks from now.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Anyone else?
Good evening. Hi, my name is Mike Harmon, 33 Bond Grape Path, Minor Collins. Just a couple of comments. I've been following this Red Oak report, still on the math on it, studying the enrollment for both districts and also Shore Regional. I think I have a pretty good handle on it. One of the things that was mentioned tonight, there's CBRIT's bringing $3.6 million for the savings. So that's a big chunk of money that they're spending now. What I'm concerned about, and I don't know if it's Mr. Colby or whoever, the school board member here that was speaking before talked about the study that talked about the. I think you have to understand, if you don't, I'm sure you, hopefully you do, is the equalized valuation and enrollment. That formula is critical to any of the maps, to many of the numbers, and many of the savings. Right now, we do equalized valuation with with Highlands. We're about 51% that's in Atlantic Highlands. They're about 48%. Anytime you change that mix to include enrollment into it, it's going to change the math. All right? And I'm not saying one way or the other. I would just say this, both Highlands. Highlands is growing, and I think they will tell you it is growing tremendously. It means they're going to be $1 billion before you know it measures. We're over a billion. Is it over a billion?
Yeah.
Well, they're booming. They're booming very well in Highlands. They've made so many improvements after Sandy. Seabright is the same thing. Seabright is also, we're very similar in our valuations. We're maybe 10, 15% apart in three towns. Seabright's issue, obviously, is they don't have a lot of kids. I'm sure they would like to have more kids in the town, but they don't. And one of the problems is, all our towns, we have a problem here that I think we have to face. We don't have enough kids. We only have 300 mm-hmm. kids in 7 through 12. Shore Regional has 600 in 9 through 12. Think about that. I'm not even sure why Seabright wants to come over. And I say that to be kind, because we need bigger schools. You need bigger schools to have all the choice, all the classes, mm-hmm. to have the honors programs, to have vocational. The bigger, the better. If we were forced into Middletown, it wouldn't break my heart. I went to Middletown. I went to Middletown. I had 1,000 kids in my class, not 34. You know, had all the choices in the world. So I don't know where this ends up going, because we may put this all together and they still be too small, but it is a good first step. Whether the council decides mm-hmm. to go with the two or with the three, I think that's your decision, and you'll make the right decision. Ultimately, I think Seabright's a no-brainer. If they want to come in, bring them in. 50 kids. Bring mm-hmm. them in. Bring that 3.5 in. Divide it up properly. The Board of Edmund mentioned the 72-28 mix. That brings, if the numbers have not changed, that's what a savings to Atlantic Commons about $755,000. What a savings to Highlands of 2.2. What a savings to Seabright of 1.2. So you see the mixture, and it all adds up to about that 3.5 that we're talking about. I would like to see Atlantic Commons, you know, of course, save money. We pay a lot of taxes. We all do. I would like to see Atlantic Commons save $1 million a year. I don't think that's unreasonable. I think that's more or less what the Seabright councilman said. If you divide the 2.6 by the two towns, I also appreciate the issues of the school conditions, and I don't know enough about all that stuff to say. But I will tell you this. I was very disappointed, not in this council, because the council ultimately did the right thing. When this resolution was proposed after 2 years or something like that, 130-2022, I saw this, and I saw this for Atlantic Commons, and I said, my God, this looks like it was written by, no offense, like the Seabright attorney. Because it got down to the mix here. The mix was not no longer 72-28. The mix was 88-12. Atlantic Commons would save a grand total of $8,000 a year. Not lost money, but you know, the math on here is about $8,000 a year. And the other two towns do very well. And I'm glad this council said no to that and, you know, revisited the numbers. But the fact that if it was our attorney that gave you that resolution and wrote and suggested that, get rid of them. Get rid of them, because there's a problem here if it was the same attorney. Because for him to present that 2 days before the vote or whatever it was, that is just flat out wrong. So hopefully you'll make the right decision, and I wish you the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Mike. Okay, there, I'm sure. Zoom, how many people?
Currently one hand raised, ma'am.
But how many people?
Out of 32.
32? Thank you. Okay. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I'm bringing over Charles Room.
I think he knows.
Bear with me.
I'm sure Charlie could. He would.
Mr. Rooney, can you turn on your camera and unmute yourself, please?
Oh, there we go. Can you hear us?
I can. This is Charlie Moody, Steve Wright. How are you today?
Good. Address, please.
Is it okay to talk now?
Yes. Go ahead. Just your address, please.
A point that I'd like to make that I think is critical in what we've been talking about tonight is the petition that we have before the Commissioner of Education is incomplete. So, in order to get it complete, we have to send a tax levy to the Commissioner of Education. That will complete the petition. She needs to know the formula that we want to work with to complete the petition. There is an appeal there from Oceanport and West Wall Branch and Shore Regional, I guess. We'll say Shore Regional and Oceanport. And what that appeal is saying is that because Seabright does not have their own Board of Ed, their own grammar school Board of Ed, Oceanport is our Board of Ed, because we don't have our own, we don't have a Board of Ed to vote us out or let us out of the Oceanport school system. That's what the appeal is at this point. But the appeal has not been addressed because the petition is not complete. So what has to happen ASAP is the funding formula has to be taken care of in mediation between Highlands and Atlantic Highlands, and you send it to the Commissioner of Education. Now she has a completed petition, and then she will address the appeal. So I don't know where this word encumbered came from, but at this point, the appeal hasn't even been addressed. So I think the first thing we need to do is move forward with getting the funding formula so we can continue on the path that we've been on for the last 4 years. And along this path, everything has been positive. The reason it's moving so slowly is because we haven't gotten to the point that we need to get to continue to move forward. So let's get that funding formula taken care of and get that to the Commissioner of Education. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? No additional hands.
Okay. So, moving forward, since I see no hands, I'm going to now go to the consent agenda. Consent agenda. These items will be enacted by one motion. If detailed deliberation is desired on any item, council may remove that item from the consent agenda and consider it separately. Resolution 37, amending Resolution 172023, appointments, boards, and commissions. Resolution 38, authorizing use agreement for the Hess Parish Center. Resolution 39, authorizing sale of surplus property. Resolution 40, emergency appropriation. Resolution 41, transfer of funds. Resolution 42, payment of bills, $2,118,539.30. I need a motion.
Charlie moves.
Did you get that?
One of us.
Okay,
one
roll call.
Mr. Colasarga?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Ms. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Lynn Lutner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Items on the consent agenda have passed.
And now, Ordinance 3-2023, amending the Fire Department LOSAP. This is an introduction. I need a motion and a second.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
And roll call.
Mr. Colasetto?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mr. Cusa? I'm sorry, Ms. Cusa.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ordinance 3-2023 has been properly introduced, public hearing, and possible adoption February 23rd.
Ordinance?
I'd like to make a motion to table Ordinance 4-2023, the exterior lighting standards.
Okay.
All right, we'll do that.
And the reason for that is our attorney is in additional review on that.
Yes.
You need a second?
I'll second it.
I'll second it.
Yes. And do we need a roll call for that? Yes. To table it? Okay, roll call.
Mr. Colasetto?
Yes.
Mr. Crowe?
Yes.
Ms. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Hohenlecker?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ordinance 4 has been tabled.
And now, moving on to the reports. Councilman Colasetto?
Sure. So there's no new news from the fire department. The next meeting, which was originally scheduled for February 13th, has been pushed to February 20th, 2023. There was a shade tree meeting last night. There is no major news to report from that meeting. They spoke about the winter plantings that they had. I think I reported last time that there was 33 or 34 plantings that they did throughout the town, which is fantastic, and that they continue to work towards Earth Month. Environmental Committee. So the next meeting is February 28th, but I reached out to Blake Deacon, the committee head, or the committee chair, and he wanted me to report on a couple things. The first thing is, and Councilman Dougherty might have a little bit more on this, but they continue to move forward on working towards the installation of EV chargers throughout town. The second thing that he wanted me to report on is that the Environmental Committee is considering updating what's called the Environmental Reserve Inventory. And this is a pretty cool document. What it is it's kind of aspirational, like the master deed. And what it will do is place guidelines or give us focuses on what we should be focusing on over the course of the next, you know, 5-10 years in terms of what we do with our community and how we protect our water resources, our open space resources. And the goal is that it would be an appendix to the master plan when that is updated, which I believe has to be updated, I think, every 10 years. The next thing that this environmental resource inventory will do is it'll capture what we have in terms of the natural resources within our community through a compilation of text, maps, tables that give us characterizations of our natural resources, like what soil we have, quality of the water, air quality, stuff like that. And so I think it's a really cool document that will better serve our community moving forward as climate changes, you know, climate change modifies our sea levels and so on and so forth. The next thing that was discussed or that he wanted me to address is there is an Army Corps of Engineers Coastal Storm Protection Plan that is being bandied about. And what that would be is it would be creating sea barriers similar to that in Venice. So if you know how the rise in water is going on in Venice, they have these barriers that shut close to kind of protect the community. That would, I mean, my understanding is it's a very costly endeavor, but it's something that is being considered. And our environmental commission is meeting with the Highlands Environmental Commission on February 13th because this is something that will ultimately affect the entire Bayshore.
On February 13th?
Yeah. I know.
Okay.
I didn't schedule it.
Okay.
I'm the messenger,
okay.
Mayor.
Okay.
And then moving on to recreation, the Recreation Committee is looking for new suggestions from all Atlantic Highlands residents as to what programs they'd like to see implemented from the Recreation Committee. As it relates to Henry Hudson Athletics and also the Admiral Athletics Club, there was a great turnout for Rec Night last week. Spring sports sign-ups are underway. And the Admiral Athletic Club is looking for sponsors for their field beautification project. So if there's any businesses in town that would like to contribute towards that project, reach out to Claire Kozik or Sue Curry, who I believe are spearheading that. And most importantly, happy birthday to my wife. I don't want to get in trouble for not mentioning that.
Of course not. Okay. Thank you. Good.
Mayor, I'll start with Recreation Committee. I'll just pick up where Councilman left off.
just to say that 2 weeks ago, we made mention of the fact that we're looking at a new application for parents to be able to use to make registering your child for soccer or basketball or any other programs, make that easier for our borough residents. I forwarded that contract off to council, our legal counsel, Ms. Schaefer. That's under review and discussed with one of her associates the other day. Some of the ins and outs on that. Hopefully we'll be able to move forward and next meeting be able to report that that's in fact in place. Moving on to DPW, I will say that we've got some new LED lights that are going to be installed that will be replacing our halogen lights on the exterior of Borough Hall, which is going to make things more environmentally conscious and also cost efficient. Reminder that the borough yard is open for leaf and brush drop-off, and the hours are Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. However, we've got President's Day coming up on the 20th of February, so there's no trash pickup, and the borough recycling yard will be closed. Also, the brush pickup does not start until April. So just reminding everybody, please, your gardeners may be coming or you may be doing yard work. Please don't put those items out onto the street yet. That gets in the way of traffic. And please hold and look at your calendar and you'll see when the pickups are going to be occurring in your zone. And they shouldn't be going out until 5 days prior to that. Moving on to police. This is important. Some of you might have noticed when you go over to ahnj.com, you'll see that Swift 911 is no longer there. It's now something called Rave. Rave bought Swift 911. You don't have to do anything in terms of like updating your phone number, your contact information. It should remain the same. But if you do want to update that information, now's the time to do that. Just go over to ahnj.com and just follow the prompts there. We'll also say that our parking committee, which no longer exists, but did institute, the recommendation to Mayor and Council and also to AHPD about parking permits and that renewal process. It's working. You know, previously it was sort of on an honor system and nobody really honored the honored system. At this point right now, at the end of January, there are 88 permits now. That have been gone through the police department, Mr. Fisher. Just wanted you to know it's part of the legacy, and that's happening. So it's up. It's up, and it's good. We have an opening for a Class 2 special officer. If you're interested, you should reach out to AHPD. The 2022 Ford Explorer is now on the road and in service. Training continues all year long. The entire department is doing training. I can tell you in January that most of them have been out to the firing range and updated their skills or had their skills assessed and scored. ALCA test, DWI training went on with several officers. Bayshore Detectives Information Exchange occurred, and there was also some training with DWI detection. I'll tell you, in January, there were over 1,500 calls. That includes 35 first aid calls, 4 motor vehicle crashes, 6 arrests, and 162 total parking and traffic stops. I also want to add something. I thought this was interesting. The Bayshore Task Force has asked our HPD to send an officer to do undercover police work training. So in return for having one of our officers go through that program, we will get an officer back who becomes familiar with writing search warrants, conducting surveillance, conducting undercover drug and weapon purchases and investigations. And this is a tool that the department has never had at their disposal. And so this is something new and something obviously a benefit for everybody here in town. Last report for our first aid squad. In January, 43 calls. That's a really good number of calls that have been answered. 8 calls as of yesterday so far for February. Attending training sessions, and that would be to the training session that was attended was to train our folks in the role of an EMS at a fire scene. And that's very useful, obviously, as the first aid squad responds to fire calls. Very important, on February 23rd at 7 o'clock in the Senior Center, free, absolutely free, is CPR and AED training. So if you're interested, go online, look at HNJ, or go to the First Aid Squad, register, or I think you might be able to show up. I shouldn't probably say that, but you might, they might be able to take some walk-ups.
Is there a limit to that?
You know, they've got a good amount of space, and it's a matter of time. So I highly recommend that you reach out to the First Aid Squad and register for that.
I can only imagine that they only have
some. I believe it's just about the capacity of the building.
Yeah, it's capacity of the building, and I'm sure they would spend extra time, but do try to register in advance. And again, that's February 23rd, absolutely free, 7 o'clock, Senior Center, CPR and AED training. And that is everything, Mayor.
Thank you. Councilman Cusack?
Good evening, everyone. My report's for emergency management. We held our first organizing meeting last Wednesday, and I want to comment, Sarah Weimer runs a really she's a stellar leader. She runs a great meeting. She has established some subcommittees that were set up to assess emergency readiness and to address some of the FEMA requirements. OEM has also endorsed working with the Green Team to meet some of the New Jersey sustainability goals. Committee also supported working with senior citizens on medical and emergency preparedness of some of our senior population. So that's something to hear more about as we go forward. The Veterans Affairs Committee had its first meeting this past Tuesday, and a number of ideas were bantied about as to what we can do for our seniors, what kind of programs that we should have, and I was happy to find out that the mayor and Mr. Ferrangino have been working on a mission statement to see what our charter is, so we're happy to know that some of the things we talked about will be part of that charter. In particular, we're working on the priority that's going to be working on is to hopefully be able to publish some of the histories of the 14 killed in action that are on the Monmouth monument, to try to get some history from them, and we're looking forward to getting some information on them. Some of these people have died quite a long time ago, so getting their information should be quite a challenge. And lastly, I'm happy to know that we do have an email address. We're really searching for an idea of how many veterans are actually in town. It's kind of hard to say that. It's not like there's a repository of information what veterans are in town, to see what kinds of things the veterans may be interested in. And lastly, I wanted to just mention that yesterday the governor did sign legislation increasing and extending the SNAP program. That's a Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. I'm just mentioning that because it actually is sundowning at the end of the month. The federal legislation sundowns the end of the month, and New Jersey is one of the first in the country to establish and expand the program so that people will be addressing the idea of trying to address the concern about food insecurity. That's my report.
Councilwoman,
go Eagles.
Councilwoman, is there an email? You mentioned an email address for the veteran.
Yes.
Is there an email that you can give out for the public to email if they know about?
Sorry, thank you very much, Mr. Murphy. It's veteransaffair@ahn.com.
Mm-hmm. And that's veteran singular.
ahn.com.
So that's ahnj. Or that's our site.
That's what it's veteran singular. So it's veteranaffairs@ahnj.com.
And we'll have that on the website.
And that will be placed on our website.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. On the stand-up finance side of things, as previously reported, the 2023 budget meetings are well underway. We'll be providing more details on the budget planning in due course. Personnel, just my personal congratulations to Patrolman Funk on his Employee of the Month recognition, very well deserved. Mm-hmm. As Councilman Colasurdo mentioned, we have nothing to report from the fire department. EMS task force, I'm here to make some news on that. We met on Monday, January 30th with Zach Brown, the new chair, running the meeting, and all task force members were in attendance. In addition, Chief Huveney participated, and it was an excellent discussion. Thanks to Chief Huveney's leadership and that of his team, I think it's very safe to say we are in a very different position than we were when the task force mm-hmm. was started. That said, the task force continues to look at several ideas of ways to sustain recent success and improvement and also plan for the future. Looking toward that, the group plans to meet again on March 5th with a goal to publicly present recommendation to this body in June. Mm-hmm. So we can look forward to that. Planning Board met briefly, just under 15 minutes, I would say, on Thursday, February 2nd at 7 p.m. Of the three applications that were on the agenda, one was withdrawn without prejudice, and two were carried at the applicant's request to the March 2nd Planning Board meeting, which will be held at 7 p.m. here in this room and on Zoom. As Councilman Colasero mentioned, the EV charger initiative is still moving forward, a bit slower than we would like it to. We have been in communication with our colleagues at JCP&L about some make-ready work and some proposals that we'd look to get from them to prepare the electrical sources for this project to move forward. And also, Mr. Deacon and I had a meeting this morning with another installation company to kind of get some more concrete proposals from them. So I am pleased to report some marginal progress, but not progress as quick as we'd like it to make. This is not one of my usual reports, but I'd like to say that the signups are open for Sandy Hook Little League. So if you're your boy or girl for baseball, softball, T-ball, coach pitch, all the way through, those signups are open. So if you're interested and your little guy or gal wants to play some baseball or softball, please sign them up. And last but not least,
here we go.
Bonds.
Mm-hmm.
Stay in the kitchen. Converts.
Okay, thank you. Councilwoman Hohenleitner?
Thank you, Mayor. I wanted to acknowledge the earthquake in Turkey and Syria this week. It's just heartbreaking.
Uh-huh.
I heard on NPR this morning, and that's why I wake up every day, is to NPR, and just to hear the suffering of folks. So I'm really proud that we have teams from New Jersey that are over there doing excavation. So I just wanted to acknowledge that. It's Black History Month, and I believe at our next meeting we'll be making a proclamation about Black History Month, but just wanted to acknowledge that it has started. The library's been doing a really good job promoting Black History Month, and it's important to acknowledge that we all have shared history. Black history is all history. So Mr. Murphy is going to talk about the leases and some things that happened in the harbor. We have our first month's financials in, but they're very preliminary because it's the first of the year, so we'll be reporting more on the harbor financials, but we're in very good shape and we're in the budgeting process right now and have been getting additional reports from Mr. Fligger to be able to report to the public. Today, so I wanted to start off with a Green Team shout out. Birthday girl Mrs. Colasero had noted that there is a Sip and Learn at First Cup Coffee on February 11th from 9 to 1, and it's about recycling food waste and compost contribution, reducing greenhouse emissions, and creating renewable energy. So it's with Unwaste, who's a company that our Green Team Captain, Ms. O'Dwyer, has, we've looked into them before. It's a great resource. We're not endorsing them necessarily, but I know that there are members that subscribe in this community and they're having a very positive experience. So there's an opportunity to see them over at First Cup. Also Green Team related, our meeting is going to be next week. And the Green Team is going to lead the coordination of the Earth Month efforts, so we'll be able to get back to everybody on what the different activities are going to be. I know the Shade Tree did some brainstorming about what their contributions would be. And sorry, I thought you were mouthing something at me. Oh yeah, and the environment. Well, all the different everybody, including Wild About Atlantic Highlands and our different gardening initiatives in town. The Cannabis Committee has been reconstituted with Mr. Knockle returning, as well as Mr. Krause, myself, and welcome Ms. Cusick. So you'll be joining us on that to replace Councilman Barakia, who worked really hard on that the last couple years, and I want to acknowledge his hard work and his support on that. But we will be meeting next month, and we'll be asking Ms. Schaefer to assist us in putting something together for the public to consider. That's not saying anything's going to be brought to a vote, but we're going to have a public conversation about this and what is possible in Atlantic Highlands or impossible. I have nothing to add to the police other than I had a very nice coffee today with Chief Reinert, and his pride in his department is infectious, and we've had a long conversation about our records clerk today and how much work Kristen's been doing. So keep up the good work, Chief. Thank you very much for keeping us safe. I know it's challenging sometimes. At all times, yes. That's a fair point, Mr. Barbato. And then just finally, today, members of the Open Space Committee, along with our planner, Fran Reiner, our borough engineer, Doug Grohmeyer,
Ms. Schaefer, Mr. Farragina, and other members of the public had an initial site visit down at the site next to where Mr. Denholz is building the homes. I thought it was an incredibly productive meeting, and we all agreed that the next steps in that process are to be going to the community. What's our new favorite word, Ms. Schaefer?
I forget.
There you go. I love it. Servette. Thank you.
So I was actually just writing that down, trying to remember what it was.
Yeah. So we're gonna have our focus group meetings with small groups meeting to talk about what different considerations, possibilities, and also what are the parameters of what can happen. There are some deed restrictions on the property, so that will be. And Mr. Murphy is on that committee with me, and we will be getting information out to the public in the next 2 weeks on when the first session of that will be, but there, nothing's going to happen, nothing's going to move forward without a lot of input from the public. And I believe that is everything on my list. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Councilman Murphy.
Thank you, Mayor. There's not a whole lot left for me, but I will. You did. I will jump to that good stuff in the harbor, and we'll remind everybody the Sissy's lease has been renewed. And On the Decks lease is still in discussion. I'm sure our borough administrator will touch on this point, but there was a walkthrough that went through the harbor with our engineer, our BA, and the harbor master to familiarize those with the harbor. And just to touch on two more points about with DPW, we want to remind residents to please read the borough calendar as needed. There's a tremendous amount of material there within the calendar. And want to remind all of our residents once again the change of the borough's recycling schedule. The first time this will take effect will be the fifth Wednesday in March, as this will be the first fifth Wednesday of 2023. Just an example, in the 2023 calendar, there are five fifth Wednesdays. That's it for me, Mayor.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks. Administrator's report.
Thank you, Mayor. A few items here. As Councilman Murphy had stated recently, myself, the harbor master, and others conducted a walkthrough of the harbor with the new harbor engineer, Laura Newman, from CME. And we walked the perimeter of the property and discussed each building as well as the Green Acres elements so she could become more familiar with the harbor. It was very productive. The New Jersey Department of Transportation proposed intersection ramp and traffic signal upgrades, with engineering services being performed by Johnson, Merriman, and Thompson, JMT, will include all intersections that run through the borough on Route 36. My office was informed bids will be going out early 2024, with projected work in the Atlantic Highlands intersections late 2024 through the first half of 2025. Work will be done on most of Route 36, with the Atlantic Highlands portion towards the end of the project. Monmouth County Health Department is hosting a job fair located here at 50 East Main Street Freehold. It will be held Friday, February 24th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. No appointment is needed. All available positions are listed on their website, visitmonmouth.com. Or you can call the Human Resource Department. The Monmouth County Engineering Department has happily agreed to a follow-up meeting from last year's meeting with myself, our DPW director, and the borough's engineering firm, CME. The meeting will take place next week. On Monday, February 6th, I attended the February Monmouth GIF Claims Committee meeting. On Wednesday, February 8th, I attended the Municipal Reinsurance Health Insurance Fund Reorganization meeting. On Monday, February 6th, I received notification that Governor Murphy signed Executive Order Number 314, ordering the flag of the U.S. and flags of New Jersey to be flown at half staff during appropriate hours on the 8th, in recognition and mourning of Councilwoman Eunice Dormfor from Saraville. Monmouth County has implemented a tire pickup program that they asked us to inform our residents about. Their mosquito control personnel will come to your property and pick up as many as 10 car tires without rims. You do not need to bring the tires to the curb. You can call them at 732-542-3630 to make arrangements between now and March 31st. Tires stored outside, for example, hold enough rainwater for mosquitoes to grow. One tire can produce more than 10,000 biting mosquitoes. Help protect your family and friends from mosquitoes by taking part in the 2023 tire pickup program. We'll post this on our website as well, and we'll put it on the bulletin board outside, and we'll put it on our social media Facebook page. For those residents who drive in and out of town using First Avenue, you will notice that we have increased the illumination of the Atlantic Highlands signage at the corner of Route 36 and First Avenue on the peanut stone wall there, as requested by several residents. And finally, the last update here, Polegate 2023. Yeah. Two sets of double utility poles, one on the corner of First Avenue and East Lincoln, and another set about a half block inward from that corner, were both corrected by Verizon crews earlier today. Mm-hmm. One set of double pole utility poles remains in the borough out of the six double poles that we had.
Tell us where it is.
For many years, a lot of work, and I want to thank the police department and the DPW for helping out in this initiative. That's it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, I'm sorry. One more reminder. We have our meeting scheduled for February 13th.
Yes.
At the theater right here on First Avenue, cinema number 4 at 7 p.m. The seating capacity is 137. It is an official meeting. Notes will be taken by the clerk. They will be reflected in the minutes. Obviously, our sound system here and our microphone recording system cannot be extricated and brought over there. We are exploring possible Zoom. However, we just want to let people know that we've never conducted a meeting there before. So we're not. If we do use Zoom, we're not sure about how the audio or how the visual will pick up. And we selected that location because of the advanced technology that they have there. The most important element of the redevelopment planner in presenting his schematics and his report is so that folks can have a visual, a clear digital visual, and the best venue to do that is, we believe at this point, a theater that has those type of elements. So thank you for reminding me of that reminder.
Mm-hmm. Will there be popcorn?
You have to buy it yourself.
Okay. There we go.
Will it be available?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe.
Maybe. Buy it. I know, really. Our dog. Doug Roma.
Our dog.
Thank you. Very briefly, the 2022 road program, as you're aware, is on hold for winter weather conditions at this point. In speaking with the contractor, they anticipate resuming work in the beginning of March. That being said, prior to remobilizing to any site, they will be releasing public notice to all the residents again, so they are aware once they're coming up to their portion of the project. We've been assisting the borough in completing the FEMA AFG grant applications, the Assistant to Firefighters grant. We're working with your fire department, OEM, and first aid, requesting the maximum amount up to $1 million for new radios, turnout gear, and fire truck. So mm-hmm. those grant applications are due tomorrow. I know you're the business administrator is working on acquiring multiple letters of support to go along with the project. So fingers crossed, we should be in good shape once we submit tomorrow.
Okay, thank you. And my name is
Six.
I know.
That's
okay. You guys have heard enough from me tonight, I think, but luckily most of what I've done over the last couple of weeks involves attorney-client privilege projects, where I was researching and drafting and reviewing things and sending opinion letters to the business administrator and members of council. And when and if they take action on those things, you will find out what I told them. I did, by the way, have an opportunity today to join Council President and the engineer and councilman at your beautiful waterfront. And I love being in Atlantic Highlands. I learned a new word. I still can't spell it, though. I looked it up and I couldn't find it, Lori. So, but I think there's going to be a great opportunity next to the Denholz property. I look forward to working with you on that. Thank you. Thank you. And now for public comment. How many people on Zoom?
21 attendees, one hand raised.
Okay, one hand. So make sure that you say your name and address, whether on Zoom or in the public. So you can hand up on Zoom.
Okay. We'll bring over Regina Keelan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, coming on over. Ms. Keelan, can you hear us?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello.
There you go.
I had my hand up, and I wasn't supposed to have my hand up. I apologize.
Oh, okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Okay. Thanks.
No one?
Okay, so I will start. Any comments from the public? Yes, ma'am.
I'm still Mary Ann Smith, and I still have that.
Okay.
Could you tell me, please, I didn't hear anything from the Harbor Commission report. Is there any update on the repairs or the being done to the Capitol building near the harbor?
Still in litigation.
Still in litigation. Is it progressing, or can't you even tell me that?
No, we can say that and I apologize for not saying this. We split the report and we weren't as organized as we should have been. That's my fault. Our attorney reported that they've filed a substitution of attorney so that they can formally take over the case, but they've been working on it all along, so there's progress being made there. And the other thing she reported on was she gave us a very thorough report of where she is in the collections of different outstanding collections items, and so we got a detailed report on that.
Collections?
We have some, like, people who haven't paid their slip.
Their slip collection, their fees collection.
Fees, yeah, like that kind of thing. That was for the other part of her report.
Oh, okay. Does the borough know who the officials were that either was the project manager for this building and or issued the CO and let these people move in?
That is a...
I was under the impression the majority of this was discussed in the executive session, and we weren't going to talk about much of that.
Well, so my question is, has the borough looked into who issued the CO?
So anything relating to the Tobo building is in litigation and should not be commented on by anybody at the dais.
So I have to file an OPR to see how many COs were issued and who issued?
You're welcome to do that.
Thanks. Thank you very much. And it was about Mr. Murphy, I might have missed it, but you did not vote on regionalization?
I've recused myself from regionalization due to my wife being on the Board of Education.
Okay, I didn't even hear your name being mentioned. That's why I didn't know you recused yourself.
Apologies. Okay. It's been mentioned in previous meetings. That's why I was not in the executive session, and I left the room for that. I should have. Next time I will, Muriel. Okay. Right next to you.
That's going to be a nice time.
Well, if there is a next time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay.
Hi, Ellen O'Guire, 81 Kingsland Avenue, Water and Green. I have two things. The first one, I'll say that for later. Okay. I heard Regina was online. I'm surprised Regina didn't bring this back up. But since our last meeting, I know there was a volunteer, a lady who wanted to volunteer, the lady with the fuzzy vest and silence here. Hopefully we didn't scare her away. But we've had a couple of tip-off meetings for some of my committees, and Councilwoman Cusack is witness to this. We didn't have proper contact information for a couple of our members, so they couldn't be notified that we had our meeting. I know Shakespeare had the same kind of issue. So I think we have some homework to do and clean up our process in organizing our committees and appointing folks and getting the right contact information, and so that they can know where to come, when to come, what to do when we have our meeting. So we had a less than effective, although we did get a lot accomplished in the first veterans meeting, we were missing two people that we would have liked to have met. Okay. So So I'm going to suggest, and I hope that the mayor will do this, appoint a task force to evaluate our systems or process that we have here and tighten it up. Talk about what we've learned from this latest round, because we have a lot of committees and a lot of people. I didn't do the count, but there's probably maybe 70 people across all the committees that we're kind of managing. And I want to close the loop on the folks who stepped up and still haven't heard back the status of their application, and I do know there's a few of them. And I'd like to look into the idea that Regina brought up about background checks, especially, and for the kids, folks that are dealing with their children, and a vetting process where appropriate for certain roles and responsibilities in order to protect our children and to minimize risk in whatever form that might take, whether it's lawsuits or financially or safety or otherwise. And basically have this task force to, you know, evaluate what we're doing, or what we're doing well, what we're not doing so well, and propose ways to make the process more open to all residents to step up, to be considered fairly, and to be kept apprised of where they are in the process. And I'd like to be the first to volunteer to be part of that. So hopefully you will do that. And my second, actually, would you be willing to do that, Mayor?
Do what?
Task force?
I can consider it. Yes, I will. Mm-hmm.
And the easy one was dog licenses. We're a dog loving town. I see people go by my house all the time. I got two licenses about a week ago. And Rob, how much do they cost? About $14.
More or less. I don't know the exact fee.
$11.20. And I got two licenses about a week ago, and my numbers were 46 and 47. We have to have like 1,000 dogs in the town. I really would encourage people to be, you know, do the responsible thing and register your dog.
Thank you. Thank you for reminding people of that.
Thank you. I see no hands. Oh. Come on up, Paul.
71 years old. I'm a little slower. Paul Barbado, 22 Laurie Road. I know this, we've been all working through this whole ordeal with regionalization. I'm just concerned, as a taxpayer speaking, and other neighbors who I've spoken to, the legal fees. This is going to go on. Because we have to get this to where it's going to be elected to the voters of the borough and of the other communities. But at this point, that's going to go on to maybe September, November. So these lawyers are going to have to, they're going to be on the clock. I'd like to know the accounting of it. What is it going to cost at the final cost? If I have to do an OPRA or to the town accountant, be able to provide the numbers, where do we go from there? Because I think that's a big concern, because it sounds like, what are we going to say? I mean, if the lawyer's fees are phenomenal, because some lawyers are $350 an hour, and if you call them, you're on the clock. Mm-hmm. I know that for a fact, because I sued a lawyer once, and I won. Okay, and it cost me a lot of money to sue the lawyer. And sometimes it's not worth it. So I would like to kind of see where we're at with these legal fees.
Okay, thank you. The borough administrator will look into that. Okay.
Thank you to ask the question.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Mr. Fisher.
After the meeting 2 weeks ago, the mayors, the BAs, and the attorneys for the three towns, Seabright Highlands and Atlantic Islands, were supposed to sit down and have a meeting. They were told that would be reported on at this meeting.
It was a phone call, and what happened was executive session. To come to understanding of how we're going to be moving forward.
So the phone call was an executive session?
No. The phone call was what happened is why we have the executive session tonight.
The phone call led to the executive session.
Thank you.
And the results are embodied in the resolution that council adopted.
Exactly.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay. There was a lot of talk after, during the last meeting about loose ends, follow-ups, the information at the meetings, also with the committees. Has anything been put in place in the last 2 weeks to figure out how we can get better at following up on things?
I'm sorry, I need to be more specific. I'm sorry, I wasn't following.
Well, Mrs. Keada was saying that she came to this meeting last year, and she came back 2 weeks ago, and she's still hearing the same stuff being not dealt with.
Specifically about regionalization, you mean? Are you talking about? Yeah. I mean, all I could tell you is that my office tends to follow up pretty effectively and pretty regularly with residents. When things are emailed, questions, inquiries, what have you, we do our best to get back in a prompt manner. The regionalization issue in and of itself, as obviously as evident tonight, is a very complex and long issue that's been going on for quite a while. But outside of that, on a day-to-day basis, in terms of just requests and inquiries, I think we're pretty good at supplying information.
Yeah, she also had a lot of talk about committees.
Mr. Fisher, I would imagine that that is related to Mr. Dwyer's comment regarding the potential mm-hmm. task force, and if that's in place, I'd imagine that will be addressed.
Okay. The fee schedule that we spoke of many times, I know Adam was trying to get it updated before he left, which was 16 months ago.
Yeah, so the clerk and I and a few in the office here have been working on that fee schedule.
Okay. Curious as to where the flags went on Memorial Parkway.
So I believe that the police department assisted mm-hmm. us with taking those flags down, and they store them until they're ready to be put back up.
Okay. When will they go back up?
They usually go back up in the beginning of the summer, from what I understand.
We don't want them up in climate weather.
Well, from what I understand, they're taken down every winter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The pileup and the illegal dumping ordinances, update on.
So I finished that draft, and I passed it off to mm-hmm. Ms. Schaefer, and Ms. Schaefer is reviewing it.
Okay. That's for both?
That's for the, it's for the illegal dumping in the borough yard.
Okay. And the parking? Came
in the little parking. I know you were working on that. So I reached out to Mr. Farragina. Mr. Farragina is in contact with Mr. Stibe as well as Mr. Senna, and we're just trying to get that all clarified and reworked, and then that'll come back to Mayor and Council, hopefully for introduction and a vote.
So that'll just be a tweak on the ordinance?
It's a based on our phone conversation that the four of us had, it's a review. We want to go through it and just dot all the I's, cross all the T's, and Mr. Stibe is weighing in on this as well, because we're talking about, right, the update, which I know you're aware of, so.
Yeah. Okay, back in November, I sent an email to the mayor, being the chairman of the parking committee, informing the mayor that I had polled my committee and that all members, Bob Sherman, Paul Wright, Caroline Northrup, and Sarah mm-hmm. Bonserva would like to be reappointed to the committee, as well as myself. And I hope in that email that Councilman Crowley and Doherty would both like to re-up with our committee. I never got a reply from the mayor. On November 21st, Councilman Doherty requested that the committee be rebranded and the mission to become a mobility advisory committee to encompass all aspects of mobility and safety, as well as the previous mission of improving parking and traffic issues. On December 14th, I sent an email to the clerk informing her of our meeting dates proposed for 2023, as I did each year. I knew she would be meeting those dates for the calendar. I didn't expect a reply. That was just basically information. I also informed the clerk of the intentions of the fire committee. On January 1st, the parking committee was left off of Resolution 17-2023, as had been told to me that it was going to be left off, as well as two other committees, tech and beautification. And at the January 12th meeting, a month ago, the first regular meeting of the council, I asked the question again, asking as chairman of the parking committee. Saying back in November, I sent the email, that sometime in the new year, that we would speak about being rebranded as a committee. And when was that conversation going to take place? The mayor deferred to, Business Administrator Ferragina. Administrator Ferragina said that new council has not yet had an executive session, and we're not permitted by law to discuss any matters of group. I know there are some people that love when we went to executive session, but that's the only avenue that we can really have an open discussion pertaining to any given issue collectively as a group. So as soon as we have an opportunity to do that, we can discuss that matter. I replied, okay, we have a meeting planned in January. We'll carry forward with that meeting. I asked if there would be any decision made prior to our parking committee meeting in January that was scheduled. The mayor replied, I don't believe at that time, if it's next week. Mr. Ferragina added that unless we had an emergency executive session meeting, which I don't anticipate, I don't anticipate we would go into an executive session until after the next council meeting on January 26th. Hopefully then, as discussed, council agreed on a decision one way or the other, then you would be informed on the 26th of January. So that's the time frame. But okay, we'll just go ahead with our planned January meeting. So on January 12th, the parking committee, the chairman, myself, was informed by the BA in the presence of the council, the new attorney, the mayor, and the borough clerk, an executive session was required to discuss the parking committee's rebranding. The earliest opportunity for the full council, mayor, and BA to discuss this would be in a closed session on January 26th. The parking committee was instructed to move forward with the already advertised January meeting, and the parking committee would hear back most likely from the council after the January 26th meeting. Crystal clear direction. However, on January 19th, Mr. Ferragina texted me about 9 in the morning, this is about 10 hours before the planned meeting, to inform me in a 17-minute conversation that the committee was being sunset. Best way to say it's being disbanded, the parking committee is being disbanded. The reason the mayor feels that the parking committee has achieved its mission, I voiced my displeasure, obviously, but I don't blame Mr. Ferragina. He was the messenger, he was a gentleman, and he handled it professionally and obviously was instructed to make sure that I got the word prior to the meeting that very same night. However, 1 week prior, I was given completely different information that a decision had to be made in an executive session. None of that happened. So I guess my question is, if that was the only avenue to come to that decision, none of the council had any opportunity to weigh in on the decision, and yet a decision was made without an executive session. So my question is, how did that happen?
So I can weigh in. So my information about the executive session is correct. However, I was reminded after I made that comment that the governing body does not collectively appoint committees. And that is a decision, a responsibility, and a luxury of a mayor. And that if a decision needed to be made prior to your committee meeting, that the governing body would not have to wait until they go into executive session.
Okay, so it really wasn't true that an executive session was required.
If the governing body collectively has to make a decision, they do have to go into executive session. However, I was reminded that a committee is formulated by the mayor. The individuals in a committee are appointed by a mayor. That the governing body doesn't have to get together and weigh in and vote or anything of that nature.
I'd like to know how the two councilmen that were part of that committee, because they really were an integral part of the committee. Mm-hmm. They were go-to people. They always encouraged us to move forward with things. They always gave us good advice, the four members of the committee, a couple of them are here tonight. And I'm just really curious how a committee that was willing to take on even more in the new year gets sunsetted. In addition to our tasks, we got sunsetted by willing to take on even more tasks.
Well, me as the mayor, the most important element of the parking committee, which I started back when I became mayor, was to get the presentation for the parking garage. That was, and so, and having that put out there to the people. And I want to thank you for the study. I want to thank the parking committee for all that they've done. And I just know that moving forward, any resident at any time still has if they have any concern, they can take that concern, whether it be parking or any other ideas for parking, can go through Mr. Farragina.
Okay, so I'm going to rebut what you just said.
Excuse me, sir. We're getting into an area now where it's the deliberative process privilege. So it just means that the rationale underlying her decision is something that she does not need to explain beyond what she just told you. So if you're not going to have a back and forth with her. Okay. I think she understands your comment.
I'll make a comment. I was the chairman of that committee for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
We had over 20 meetings. Not once was I ever told the only mission of that committee was to give a parking garage presentation. Not once by anybody. That was not the mission of the committee. And everyone up here knows we dealt with a lot more stuff than just a presentation for a parking garage. I would still like to hear from Mr. Crowley and Mr. Doherty.
I don't mind responding, Council, in that I will just say I'm going to reserve my comments about how I feel about the committee being sunset as part of another committee that was also sunset, which I'm sorry to see go away. What's important for me to say is there was a woman here the other 2 weeks ago that was wanted to get involved and was scared off of doing it because she heard what was going on. And what I wish I had said that night, and I'm still going to say it tonight, is that, and I think I alluded to some of it in my police report tonight, is that this committee that you chaired, we got a lot done. Yeah. Got a lot done. And I was excited to see where that was going to go. And so it's important for me to recognize everything that you put into it, your passion, your hard work, the research.
It was the full committee.
Well, and I'm getting to that too, is that Caroline, Sarah, Bob, Brian, Paul, that, you know, everybody showed up. Everybody did the work, and there's a legacy that's left behind by this committee with the parking permits that we see now are in effect, 88, expanded parking around town with various lots. And a lot of that is, you know, your passion and your drive, and I'm sorry to see that go. I found out the same way you did. I know somebody 2 weeks ago said that the council, and I'm not going to speak for everybody, I'll just speak for myself, that we all sort of have a say in what goes on in these committees. I can tell you, I'm going into my sixth year. I ask at the beginning of every year, this is what I would like to do, and sometimes I get stuff, and sometimes I don't get my appointments. It's not my decision to be made, and so I found out the same time you did. So all I can say is that I'm sorry that it's not around. I enjoyed meeting with that group of people, and again, I thought that we got a lot accomplished in the time that we were together. So a tip of the cap to everybody on the committee. Maybe it'll come back in another form under mm-hmm. mobility or what have you.
I'll simply say I was on your committee for a year. I want to echo much of what John said, that I have nothing but respect for the commitment that you had, Mr. Fisher, and the members of the committee, and what we accomplished in the short time that I was there. That being said, I'm respectful of the process. In a borough government, the appointment of committees and the staffing of those committees is the responsibility of the mayor. And so that is, you know me a little bit. I'm a process guy. I'm respectful of process. I think process is important. And, you know, that being said, you know, thank you for all you do and you continue to do, and appreciate it.
Thank you. And I'll close this conversation by saying what I said 2 weeks ago. Mayor, the committee's mission was nowhere near complete.
Okay, thank you. I just want to reiterate, any and every volunteer that we have in this town, I and the council appreciate everything that you do, because without you, without having the hours that you spend, nothing would get done. So I thank you. I thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. I don't, should I say this every week? Or have it out there? Maybe I should. But I do appreciate, and so does the council, for what you do. So thank you. And in 10 months, you'll be having a new mayor. So at that point, there will be maybe a parking committee. So thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Again, Erwin, we were 12:30. Listening to the conversation tonight, I have a thought and a concern regarding regionalization. And the thought that I have is right now the Education Commissioner has an incomplete petition for three towns, right? And is awaiting the funding formula to complete that petition. In the event that Atlantic Highlands and Highlands goes forward with a petition, and there is none for the three towns, my concern of what may happen is I believe the first petition is actually in the spirit and intent of the Education Commissioner providing real regionalization. Not that Atlantic Highlands and Highlands regionalization is not significant, but it's relatively small. It's a $400 to $4,000 savings. What could potentially happen here is the incomplete petition sitting by the commissioner can have no action whatsoever. If a petition comes up for the two towns, the commissioner may look at that and say, I got this other one. Go finish it. And in my mind, that's one of the worst things that could possibly happen, because it further delays regionalization of any kind, which is very important to all three towns, but particularly important to Atlantic Highlands and Highlands for the reasons we pointed out before. So if this petition goes forward with just a funding formula for the two towns...
That's not what's going to happen. We said we were going to do a funding formula for both scenarios.
Okay, well, there's a lot of things that have been said, right? And a lot of meetings have to take place.
And we're trying to repeat it so that
you hear it. I don't know what the timeline is for all of this. So that's number one. The second thing is, I think we talked about this previously. I hope everybody on the council is aware of the fact that Seabright incurs no savings for about 5 years in this process. We have deferred school tax in the amount of $1.25 million that we have to pay to Oceanport over the next 3 to 4 years as we exit. In addition to that, we're sending money to these two towns who are paying for education in the other. One of the phenomenons that's going on in Seabright right now is we've got a bit of a groundswell in favor of this, but it's fading.
Okay.
And part of the reason it's fading is in the grammar school in the Shore Regional District. You know the Oceanport School is rated 10 out of 10. It's one of the tops in the region. And a lot of parents are very concerned about this change. But I think the overwhelming town halls that we've had and the discussions that we've had have people in Seabright kind of getting comfortable with this. And part of it is they believe some of the savings that are going to be incurred are actually going to be spent on improving the education system, which I think would be good for everybody. Not just Seabright students, but also Atlantic Highlands and Highlands. So I'm just concerned that this train could leave the station with nothing if it's not well thought out. And I would really implore the folks to take a good hard look at this encumbrance issue, because it sounds like a speed bump that people are afraid of. I actually believe it's propaganda. I don't think there's any truth to it. But if it's said firmly enough, it can be believed.
Right.
So I think it's important we go back and talk to Mr. Giacobbe and make sure that we're comfortable that that is in fact the case, and maybe outside expertise is required, because that is a pivotal point in the road to decide a path forward. And the last thing I'll say is, you know, in the calculations that we talked about, 400,000 if you regionalize together, 2.5, 2.6 if you do it with the Seabright, there is probably no other single action that can be taken by the governing body to provide property relief, property tax relief, with Atlantic Highlands and Highlands. And I look at it very closely in my town, and if I had something that I could save my town $2 million, I'd be damn sure we'd spend a lot of time to really make sure it's viable, we can get it done, and put a lot of effort in. So I hope you're going to do that.
Okay, thank you. Okay. So since I see no hands up, I'm going to make a motion, or I need a motion, a second? Yeah, and a second?
Murphy, second.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Who had it? Who had nine?
I had 9:12. Wow.
9:14.
An hour off.
Me too.
I said 9:05.